Welcome in the latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite golfing cousin, Cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
Oh, no. What happened? Did you get a bogey or something?
No, but I lost a lot of money at Cherokee Casino this weekend, Mike. Not a lot, but man, I thought I was due. I thought I had the perfect formula. I was bouncing around at those slots, and I was like, but then I got caught up again on one. I was like, kept chasing it. I knew it was going to hit, never hit, lost half my money. And needless to say, if you're watching this, this is my Venmo.
I forgot. It's been a busy weekend. So they reeled you back in, right, with some bonus points. You thought you were going to cash in big. And the house always wins, don't they, as they say?
They said, hey, guy, why don't we give you a free couple nights stay? I only stayed for one night, but they gave me a couple nights. They said they gave me money, which I was like, hey, if I just play that, I'm out nothing. And long story short, Mike, they knew exactly what they were doing. I don't know how they got it all. I was like, I'm going to show them, like, the whole time as I'm driving to Cherokee, I'm like, I'm going to show them this. Boy, they messed up this time, Mike. They're giving me all this money. But no, it was a long ride home because Interstate 40 is still kind of shut down from the hurricane stuff. Oh, and wow. It was a hot mess. And it finally got home. That's a long drive home. When you're a loser coming from Cherokee, it's a longer drive home, I'm telling you.
Well, all right, enough of your Shane's weekend adventures. If you missed it, we had some adventures on the channel. Don't check them out right this second, but maybe as soon as we're done, if you missed it, over the weekend, I posted a couple of interviews we had, Shane, from SEC spring meetings.
Yeah.
We had Bobby Burton from On Texas Football talking, the glory that is Texas football. We had George Stoya from Sooner Scoop talking about expectations. John Mateer better than Arch Manning. How about that take, Shane? Two great interviews. Poolside. Go check those out. But on this episode, Shane, we have a fun little idea. I think we've done this before in the past. But, the teams that can make the college football playoff, Shane, in 2025. And my list is probably not going to be the same as Cousin Shane. So hopefully he's got his own list. I got my own. I got my reasons. I got my teams put in tiers. How does that sound?
That sounds great, man. Sounds like we were supposed to do a lot of work. Am I prepared? I don't know.
And then, we're also going to debut another weekly segment, but probably a quick segment here.
Yeah.
What we're going to weekly do, Shane and I, every Sunday leading up to the college football season, one bold prediction, and you guys, you'll have to wait and see what Shane, I think he's like auditioning for Hollywood or something. I figured he'd show up and say Tennessee's going undefeated, next question. But no, he put some thought and a lot of consideration into this. So
yes,
that's what we're about to do.
Yes, I'm ready, man. Bold take, that was kind of fun. Something we're going to be talking about as the season gets a little bit closer. And you got to remember, I'm about 98% correct, and sometimes I miss. It's usually with the Florida Gators. I saw you, Jamal, but I think this one's going to be spot on. I think you'll enjoy it.
Hey, how about Cousin Mike, Shane? He says, Mike works, Shane gambles it all away.
Can you hear this noise out here? I'm telling you what, it's like, I do a show every day at 7 o'clock, right? Never changes. Sometimes a little early, sometimes a little late, but it's like everybody wants to make noise at 7 p.m. on the dot. I don't understand it.
No, we don't hear it, but I do hear this, Shane, Cousin Sean. Mike looks tan. Shane looks like those all-nighters at Cracker Barrel are finally taking a time.
Oh, yes, they are. They are. I got to figure out the color situation. I'm really not this red. A lot of people see this and like, damn. He could go any minute. I hope there's a delay on this show, because if it happens, Mike can just clip it real quick. It's just the lighting, the camera. I have no idea. We are a low production podcast, and hopefully one of these days I'll figure it out.
Well, speaking of low budget, Shane, here's a good time to plug, not even a sponsor. Shout out to Leapers Ford. I went to the distillery down in Franklin.
Yeah.
Hell of a time. Bought a bottle. That's what I'm drinking on this episode of the show. We ought to, I know you've got some connections in East Tennessee at some spots. We need to, perhaps if we can get some cousins that are interested, we should do like a podcast meetup at a distillery and just get, have a couple of drinks before the season. You know what?
We need to set something up. We keep talking about it. We talk about it. The thing is, we got to find something that gets a lot of fans involved, you know, so it can't just be two teams playing, it feels like, or it needs to be in a really good location. I enjoyed our Nashville visit. We did that once, had a lot of cousins out, but we need to plan something. And a distillery may be the reason, maybe the reason to get them all together.
Yeah. Scott says Leaper Fort Fire. I mean, it is a cool spot. Miss Terry's Bathwater says, bougie. I learned that word thanks to Shane. I want to get married there. So there we go. Maybe there, that's an idea. But it was a hell of a time. But man, we could talk gambling, bourbon. Golf, bourbon. We could do that for days and days. So let's get on with the show, Shane. Before we get to the predictions, before we get to the who can make the college football playoff, I wanted to share this because I thought this was pretty funny. If you missed it, so the SEC put out these graphics, Shane, down in spring meetings.
Yeah.
This kind of went under the radar here. Here is the SEC only had two teams out of the top 50 in strength of record over the last 2 years. So this is just, and you look at the Big Ten, they had eight, Big 12 had nine, ACC 11. So you want that number to be small, but basically the point they're trying to get across.
Yes.
SEC dominant. Strength of record is outstanding. You cannot go through this conference and not have a great strength of record. They put out another one, and this is a massing rating. The SEC only had two teams out of the top 50. So we're talking, you know, the elite of the elite here. Big Ten, you know, they had seven outside the top 50 as opposed to the SEC too. So basically, mm-hmm. They were just putting out numbers, right?
Yeah.
To show SEC's awesome. The rest of y'all suck. And who chimed in, Shed, but our old friend, Brett Bielema, up there, Illinois, failed Arkansas coach, even though I do like this guy. I think he did a good job. But he says, oh, great work. Maybe heading into the weekend, extremely talented. Look at your group. Have them look at these numbers. And he's saying NIL has made the Big Ten, you know, surpass the SEC, yada, yada, yada. And then our boy, Shane, don't forget, last team out of the SEC to whoop Ohio State's ass. Mizzou! Eli Drinkwitz says, hey, Bielema, Mizzou's 2-0 over the Big Ten the last 2 years, so suck on that one. But, man, I just thought it was hilarious. I love a good troll from a head coach. But,
yes,
you know, sticking it to old Bert, I think that was great.
Right off the top rope. And I love it. I love it. Can you pull up that Sankey thing, that media piece? And honestly, it's a little confusing at first, and I wish they would have flipped this thing upside down. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So you could see the Southeastern Conference is, I mean, they're typically playing a top 25 team every single week, and that's basically what they're trying to hammer home. And I love it, because how could you live in a bubble that thinks one or two teams? That's all this is, Mike. The whole Big Ten has one or two teams that they kind of hide behind.
Yeah.
The Southeastern Conference has what, 10, 9, 8, you know? I mean, I at any point could be competing for a national championship. And that's what's kind of – it just drives me nuts. But these coaches, they come out, they say this. But I guarantee you, if Brett's big ass was down here in the Southeastern Conference again, he'd have been right behind Sankey saying the exact same thing.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk. I'm going to look it up real quick because I got it on my timeline. Shout out our friend Pat Smith, Shane, down there, WJOX Birmingham, and co-creator of the Paul Feinbaum Show. He says, oh, Brett Bielema talking trash. Bielema went 11-29 as an SEC coach against the SEC. So 11-29, not the greatest record. And that's why he's an Illinois coach.
Yeah.
And Arkansas coach. You know what?
Exactly. But you know who has the biggest heart on this show, Mike? And apparently the deepest wallet. Cousin JR coming through again with five memberships, five family members. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Legend. Mike, do you have Cousin JR has done it again.
JR's back, Shay. This time he has blessed JC Volcano. I am a Karen. What a name there. The Lone Phoenix and Georgia Girl 91.
Welcome
to the family, courtesy of the legend JR.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR. Welcome to the family.
Thank you, JR.
Thank you, JR. Appreciate you, cuz.
What a guy. What a guy, Shane.
I'm glad I don't have to read those anymore, you know? It was a lot. They asked me, what's the best part about Mike being I don't have to read as much anymore, so that's good.
I was about to say, Shane, you did such a good job.
Well, I've never been what you'd call, quote-unquote, a reader. In fact, if it were good enough, like a book or something, I'll just wait till the movie. I'm one of those. I'll wait till the movie comes out. And if I don't make the movie, then the book wasn't worth it to begin with. So, right. Yeah. Are you a reader? Do you read books? I know you got a lot of fancy books behind you, but do you actually read them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I do. Right now, nice. I'm reading a Hunter S. Thompson collection.
Who's that?
Hunter, did you ever see that movie Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas? It's Johnny Depp plays him in real life.
I tried. That's one I'm surprised made to a movie. I just didn't. Maybe I didn't like it. I don't know. Maybe I need to revisit that now that I'm older. But wasn't a huge fan.
Take you some cornbread and watch that. You'll have a different perspective. All right. So this week, Shane. And Shane even said, hey, let's get us a little intro thing here. So this is beautiful. This is all Shane's idea. Let's get to the bold prediction of the week. We're each going to have one here, but we got a little intro thanks to Shane. All right, wow, the production value is off the charts on this.
We're getting a little carried away, ain't we?
All right, so I'm going to go first because Shay's spent a ton of time. I had no idea what he was going to come up with, and he went far above and beyond. Yes. And I didn't want to limit him. I just said, hey, come up with a bold prediction. We're going to do this every week, and I'm going to try to talk Steven into doing one every Monday as well. So. Here's what I was thinking. Again, Shane went above and beyond, but I am sticking it solely to an individual player that I think is going to have a breakout season. And I think it's a bold prediction, but I don't think it's like a wild one that fans would think is totally unbelievable. My bold prediction for the upcoming college football season, Shane.
Yeah.
Texas sophomore receiver Ryan Wingo is going to lead the SEC in receiving yards this upcoming season. He was far and away, not Texas' number one option, but they had a lot of guys. I think he was fifth or sixth in receiving, but true freshman last year. He made some big plays early on in the season. He was a consistent contributor all throughout. But Texas losing, Shane, they only return 29% of the receiving production, which is 13th in the SEC. So they need somebody to step up, and they're not devoid of talent by any means. But we all know, Shane, Arch Manning's going to be an upgrade over Quinn Ewers. He's playing in this Steve Sarkisian system, year two for Ryan Wingo, first year with Arch Manning. I'm not saying Arch Manning is necessarily going to lead the SEC, but I think his go-to guy is going to be Ryan Wingo. That's my bold prediction this week. What are your thoughts on it?
I like it. I do because honestly, when I hear something like this, I try to think who could challenge him. Now there's some great receivers. I feel like the SEC, you know, it felt like last year we talked about the receivers coming into 24, but I feel like 25's got ultimately more talent. Now some of it's young, some of it's unproven, but I do think that when we look back at this class, we're going to see a lot of kids playing in the NFL. So when I do that, you know, it's hard for me not to think about, you know, Alabama or Auburn or, you know, LSU, some of these guys that could pop off. But, you know, I think if Arch is going to ultimately have the season that people are expecting, I think you got to open up the playbook a little bit. You know, I'm not saying that they get away from the running game, but man, you got a damn tool here. And I feel like the threat of even Arch running is going to make Wingo's life a lot easier downfield. So, I can't fault you for this one. I feel like he was going to be toward the top anyway. So to be the best, you know, it wouldn't blow my mind.
Well, the fact that you like that means I'm way wrong. It ain't going to happen, yeah. Shane.
I didn't want to say it, but.
Hey, shout out J-Bell. He just gave us $2, Shane. He says DeAndre Moore is Arch's favorite. They have good chemistry. So, throw him into the mix there. Don't you love it, Shane? You tell a Texas fan they're going to have the best receiver. So he ain't even the best on the team. Yeah. He ain't even the best on the team. You know, that's a Texas fan for you. You know what?
Yeah. We got two more in the hopper. Just waiting.
All right. So for Shane's bold prediction, do you want to set this up or you just want to play it?
Yeah, we'll just kind of jump into this when it makes sense once it gets rolling.
Okay. And I haven't seen this, so apologies for anything said here.
Ooh, you want hot takes? Let's talk hot seats, Mike. This is going to be a big year, a big topic coming into 2025. Coach Stoops is one of those names that floats toward the top of the list with Billy Napier. I've been trying to fire him for 3 years now. Sam Pittman out here at Media Day saying, I know what the standards are in Arkansas. I know I'm not hitting them. Hugh Freeze is a guy that you've been trying to get fired since he got hired down there. Coach Kelly, is this the year that they make it or they pull the trigger? Venables, we know what the standards are at Oklahoma. Are we hitting it? And Jeff Lebby. These are just a few of the names that keep popping up in 2025. Is their job safe? And I'm here to tell you, Mike, some of these guys may be coming back. So here's my hot take. I think special things are going to happen in Arkansas. Now, I'm not expecting a playoff run by no means, but I think with Talen Green and some of the pieces that Arkansas has coming back, I think they surprise a few folks. And because of those surprises, I think it buys Sam another year. You know, Sam's been out here telling you an expiration date, when he's going to leave. And I don't think it's going to be in 25, Mike. Sam's not the only one safe on this list. Hugh Freeze should also be removed. And I know you disagree, Mike, but I'm telling you what, brother. I feel that Auburn is back, baby. I'm not saying they win championships, but I do say they do enough to not only secure his job, but I believe we have an extension in 2025. That's the success that they'll have. Billy Napier, on the other hand, will not receive an extension on his contract, but he will, I think, get one more year. We're going to see something similar to 24, Mike. I'm not expecting a special season from the Florida Gators, but I do think that it will be enough, and there'll be moments in the season where you're saying, hey, let's let this thing marinate another 5 years. Billy Napier safe. Coach Stoops should be gone. Won't be gone. Why? Can't afford it. I think he should be on the hottest of hot seats. I'm not expecting a great year from the Kentucky Wildcats, even though the fans deserve it, Mike. I do, however, think that money is going to be a problem. And because of that, Coach Stoops is safe. And similar boat. Let's go over to the other side of the Mississippi, and we land Brent Venables. Success is coming. I don't think Oklahoma's back, but I do think at the end of the season, we're going to say, you know what? It could be worse. And I believe that Venables honestly cannot afford to go with another coach right now. Kind of went the same way with Lebby. If they don't get an SEC win, I do worry that this is probably one of the first coaches gone. However, I think they get one. I think they get one late in the year. It surprises some folks. We're going to have to be a little bit more patient with Mississippi State. I know it's not fair, but I think that's the boat that we're in. We're running out of names here, Mike. In fact, can I get rid of Coach Kelly? I want to. And here's why, Mike. I want to say that Coach Kelly is the first fired coach in 2025, but I can't. And the reason I cannot do that is because you can't fire coaches that are compete for national championships, man. LSU's back. LSU's going to win some games. And because of that, Coach Kelly's going to go out on his own terms. And that being said, Mike, I as much as I love talking hot seats, I don't think there's any coaches fired for another year. However, I'm not ruling out the fact that we may have some coaches find new jobs. I'm looking at you, Drink. I'm looking at you, Sark. I'm looking at you, Lane Kiffin. But I'm telling you right now, that's my bold take, Mike. No coaches, zero coaches get fired in 2025.
Man, I was wondering where the hell you were going with that, Shane. I was going to say, how can you have any bold takes by the end of the season if we're going to do 26 per week? But I like what you did there.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we all want to do it. And I'm probably the world's worst at, fire the guy, you know, just get rid of his ass. He's not going to make it. I find myself doing that more times than not, but I think times are changing, Mike. And with the shift, the landscape of college football right now, the last thing you want to do, I think, is be part of a coaching search, because we don't know where monies are going to lay here. We don't know what responsibilities are going to happen. And 23, yes, there were some fires that needed to happen. You know, I will fire Jimbo Fisher again if I could. You know, I'll fire Arnett again if I could. But I just think that right now, unless just the bottom falls out, I feel like all the coaches will be safe for another season just till we get through this kind of transition.
You know who we're not firing, Shane?
Who's that?
We're Sooner.
Oh, Shoelace Sooner. Hey, cuz, yeah. Sorry. He's been away for a while, he says, but life's starting to get back to normal. Should be able to catch you live more often. Love what you do, Boomer. Sooner. Motherfucker Sooner. So, hey, for $100, I'll say whatever you want me to say. But no, we appreciate you, Shoelace, man. It's been too long.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I really could have used that yesterday in Cherokee, but so my bold take is nobody gets fired, is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's gonna be a old take expose, I think, about 4 weeks into the season. I think someone will get fired.
Who do you think it is? Who do you think the first one is?
There's going to be a lot of them, Shane.
Oh, really? That many?
Oh, yeah. Over, under, three and a half. Is where I'm setting it. Yeah, I think the first under. Fired could be Sam Pittman.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Sam. I'm looking at Sam. I'm looking at Lebby, and I'm looking at Billy Napier, tier one.
Arkansas State or Memphis losses, you got to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, another one. Can we pull up Mississippi State schedule?
I don't think they'll fire him.
I do. I don't think too much money's in him right now. And if you lose two of those first four games, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, before SEC play, I think there's a real good shot you're getting fired. So that's, if I was putting timing, I would say him, I would say Billy Napier, and then I'd say Sam. I think they'd let Sam finish the season.
Okay. I forgot you hate Florida. No, that makes sense. All right. So now let's get into it, Shane.
Yeah.
Who's going to make the college football play? Not necessarily. These are not, maybe I misstated there. This is not necessarily my predictions. Mm-hmm. For who's going to make it. Still haven't quite done that, but I've whittled down the list, if you will, Shane, to the teams out of the SEC that I think can make the college football playoff this year. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it makes perfect sense.
And I've even done it into tiers. You don't have to agree with my tiers. But would you go? Would you like to go tier by tier?
Let's go tier by tier. Can we start with the lowest one?
I really don't want to. I think because that'll build suspense. You know what?
Okay. Okay. All right. Let's go to the highest one then.
So we'll go. I got two listed as favorites.
Yeah.
And by what this means in my opinion, Shane, if these teams don't make it, I would be surprised. Maybe not stunned, because it's a little bit more difficult than you think, particularly in the SEC. But I expect these teams, and I think they're fairly obvious. I'm going with them dogs, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting them in. I think they're a favorite. They got to be. Yeah. I know they got one hell of a schedule. Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas, Tennessee, these are all potential playoff contenders. Auburn, Florida, also playoff contenders. Georgia Tech was pretty damn good last year, Shane. So, I mean, very, very few cupcakes. I mean, Marshall, Austin Peay are obviously there, Charlotte. But the rest, I mean, are tough games. But Georgia, banged up Georgia last year. Everybody's looking past all their issues, yada, yada. Oh, they just won the damn conference again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So until further notice, Georgia's in every year, I think, and until they take a huge step back. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. How about this? When they stop making playoffs, then we'll revisit this. You
know? Right. They're a playoff till proven otherwise.
Yes.
And another one, I'm not quite ready to put on that bar, Shane, but I think they're close, of course. Who's the other favorite?
Texas Longhorns.
Texas, put them in there. God's gift to Arch Manning, all yada, yada, yada. Yeah, this is the team, Shane. But again, and they get pissed off when you say this, but I also factored in schedule a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, opening at Ohio State, that may be the damn toughest game of the entire year for anybody. Or if it's not, it's probably at Georgia. So they got arguably two toughest games in the entire country. So how can you say it's an easier schedule? Well, I mean, just by virtue of the rest of it.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm not saying they're gonna beat the shit out of everybody and march the playoff, but I think this is probably a 10-2 type team, maybe even 11-1 again. But I think aside from Ohio State, I think aside from Georgia, which are both on the road, they should be favored in every single game. So by that logic, I think this is, by SEC standards, a manageable schedule.
Yes. Yeah. Very manageable.
And of course, elite roster, you know, so everything going for them. So I'm not just saying because of the schedule, but because of all the pieces, this makes the Longhorns a favorite, in my opinion.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I get it.
Yeah.
Now, so there's the only two, Shane, that I have as favorites.
Oh.
Now, I got the next category. I'm calling them boom or bust. Which, if things go right, I think they're in. I think they're, if they don't make it, it's something happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I also think the season could go sideways in a hurry. And I mean, we're talking coach getting fired. We're talking some of the most heat you could possibly get on two of these. And a third one will have tough questions to answer. I'm going Alabama.
Yeah.
Again, this is boom or bust. Can they make the playoff? I just went on Feinbaum, picked them to win the SEC. I think they have that in them. I also think they can go 8-4 and the coach get fired. You know what I mean? So, I mean, this is the ultimate boom or bust. I'm picking it as a boom.
Yeah.
But you could easily convince, man, what if they don't have a quarterback, Shane? What if there's a locker room? I don't know, troubles is the right word, but there was some undisciplined play last year. Remember Vanderbilt game? They're sitting there kicking the damn footballs. They're trying to put it down. I mean, there was some craziness in that game. If they lose to Florida State, good Lord, the season's off the rails before September. So I think Alabama should get there, but I could see it going. It's like a train that could derail. Not likely that rarely happens.
Yeah.
But trains do derail.
They do. I wouldn't know what that word meant. So yes, you are correct, Mike. I'm right there with you. I'm very high on the Tide as well. And I feel like, I hate to say sleep, because I don't think people sleep on Alabama, but they're not talking about them near as much as they were, obviously, when old Papaw Saban was down there. So,
right.
But the as you say, if it derails, then all of a sudden the story can swiftly shift down there in Tuscaloosa. And then we're trying to fire this. And then he's on my next, you know, my next video I make, you know, don't be that guy, Caleb.
Now, very similar.
Yeah.
Very, very similar. This team should make the playoffs, Shane. They've had the pieces. They allegedly have the coaching staff. I'm not sold on the coaching staff, I'll be honest with you. But they got the pieces, Shane. Fans expect it. Go to the college football playoff. They'll probably be there.
Yeah.
But if they don't, get his ass out of town, Shane. Brian Kelly, LSU. Again, boom or bust. Could be a bust by week one. Another one, Shane, where the season could derail before we hit September. And I kind of kid, because they've lost the opening game, 5 years in a row?
Yeah.
And there's been some good years in there. So you can rebound. New era, 12 team. You know, it's not going to kill you. But
right,
that's a demon you got to slay. And you're trying to convince us all LSU is a new year. We're not going to have these issues. Well, then you got to go on the road and beat Clemson, which allegedly, Shane, allegedly is like the greatest team ever assembled. I think they'd probably go like eighth or ninth best team in the SEC. But that is not going to be an easy game. But again, I think LSU should, all the money they're putting in. God, they love his coach, don't they, Shane? I mean, this guy's in the damn family, even though he's regressing each year. But man, this is the year. If he doesn't do it this year, I don't know if he ever gets the college football playoff at LSU.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. We're not going to dub this the last dance, but it feels like the pieces are there. And my thing is, you're looking, can you get to the next step? I think you're at that final step. My concern is, if they don't make it, could I took Coach A or Coach B and made him the head coach of LSU, and would he have gotten them to a national championship? I think that's where we would be with this football team. A lot of pressure comes with that, but that's why I'm with you. They're either making it or they're getting them a new coach.
Right. Now, I put one more team, Shane, in this boom or bust.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying the coach is getting fired. I'm not saying that should even be in discussion yet. But this is more about the team.
Yeah.
The team could be one of the best in the SEC. They could fall apart down the stretch, because that's what they do seemingly every damn year, Shane. Who are we talking about? We're talking about old 8-4, Texas 8-4, Texas A&M. Come on. Do we got the talent? I believe we do, Shane. I believe we've got the continuity. They have the continuity. How in the hell is A&M number one or number two in returning production seemingly every year in the SEC? I guess these guys never graduate. They just keep coming back. I don't know. But they're there again this year, Shane. I do believe in Mike Elko. I think, he's got a lot to prove. But what little I do know of him, I think he is an elite coach. Obviously went sideways on him last year. That's why I'm saying, hell, they could do the same thing this year. You know, you could beat Notre Dame this year. You could beat Auburn. You destroyed Florida at Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You should win all these games. Maybe, I don't know enough about Notre Dame to really say you should win that one, but it is on the road. That's not going to be, I wouldn't imagine they're more than a 4-point favorite if Notre Dame is even the favorite in that game. I don't know. But could we get to a scenario, Shane, where A&M goes 7-0 or 6-1? Then they lose at LSU, at Mizzou, maybe South Carolina, at Texas. I mean, and then, yeah, I mean, I could see that happening. So I'm putting A&M in the boom or bust.
I heard a lot of shoulds with this one here, Mike. I mean, I should have a lot more money, but I went to Cherokee, you know? Brother, I'd love to agree with you on this one. I think this is your first whiff. I don't think Texas A&M belongs on this list. Playoffs are in their future. You know, I don't think that should be up for discussion in 25. Just saying. Honestly, if Texas A&M gets in the playoffs, something really well happened or really bad happened to a couple of SEC teams, in my opinion. So a lot of the Aggie fans know I'm off the wagon, but I think this one should belong in a different tier.
Okay. Well, tier
but
you.
But I didn't make the list. It's your list, you know. You do you, boo.
And then I got this is one team. I just got them in their own tier.
Yeah.
I'm putting them as a sleeper where I don't quite think they've got the pieces to make the playoff, but they fooled me last year, Shane. And I think they could fool me again. I think I've been discrediting this team way too much. I think they can do it. And I'm talking about the South Carolina Gamecocks, Shane. Again, Sellers is incredible. Stewart, maybe the best defensive player in the country. Got a lot of production to replace on the defensive side of the football, but that's why we attacked the portal. Got to find some targets for Lenore Sellers. We got some really young emerging talent. Can those guys come together? Are we going to get our running back eligible? Yeah, there's questions here, but this coaching staff, I know Shane Beamer is not always the most popular guy. He sure is popular down in Columbia, as he should be, but the rest of the SEC can't stand this son of a gun here. I think he does a fantastic job getting all these guys developed and coached up and ready to go to the NFL. And if they are able to close, or if they could start the way they closed, buddy, we got to take South Carolina, or I should say, I need to take them a lot more serious than I have been.
Yeah, you know, there you are, making list again, Mike. Would they be an outlier if they make it to the playoffs? Sure. But I think you could label several teams that way. But everybody thinks I hate South Carolina. I don't hate South Carolina. I think Columbia is great. I think the fans are awesome. Just don't know with the schedule. The schedule, you did say that you're factoring the schedule here, and I believe South Carolina has one of the absolute toughest schedules in the country.
None of these teams we can't beat, Shane. Beat Missouri last year. Whooped Kentucky's ass. LSU, they robbed us, otherwise we would have beat them. Beat the hell out of Oklahoma. Could have beat Alabama. I mean, it came down to a final place. Ole Miss whooped our ass, I'll give you that. But this is a new look Ole Miss. Whooped A&M's ass, whooped Clemson's ass. Come on, Shane. There ain't a team on here South Carolina can't beat. I'm not saying they're going to beat them all.
Yeah.
But I think they got a chance every Saturday to beat every team on their damn schedule.
I mean, with Sellers on your squad, it'd be tough to argue that, Mike.
If he's the best quarterback in the country, that's the only information you have. Do you believe the Gamecocks make the playoff?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because the progression I saw last year from start to finish, the growth during the football season, forget the offseason and all that, I feel like a full offseason coming into 2025, brother, there's not a quarterback right now I have more confidence in week one than I do Lenore Sellers. And yeah, like I said, that guy suits up. He's on your squad. There's no doubt in my mind he could win the football game.
Cousin Thomas.
By himself.
Cousin Thomas is 9-3, even if Sellers is best. Just like LSU with Jane Daniels. That's a good point. But
yeah, yeah. Well, it's just like Jane Daniels. You know, they may have had they may not have had the season you would want. But, Mike, if you're playing NCAA and you got LSU – you're going undefeated. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter what you got around it. You're going to create it. And I feel like they did that at times with Daniels. That's a quarterback they squandered. You're going to be talking about years later. I don't think South Carolina makes that mistake.
Yeah. You said LSU, but you meant South Carolina, right?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So then these two, Shane, I'm a little dubious if they have the recipe to make it, but they got the path and they got the coaches. And, you know, I think these teams can, we're running out of options here, Shane. These teams can make it. I'm not necessarily believing that they can, if that makes sense, but they can do it.
They're like fringe, like deep fringe. If stars align type deal, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying more about the schedule. Ole Miss, come on, buddy. They won 10 games last year.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm not saying this is like some awful team or anything, but same thing we said about some of these others. I mean, who in the hell's beating them? I think Georgia, at Georgia, after you whooped them last year, I don't think there's any shot you winning that one. But beyond that, all these games are winnable for Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss may be a little Jekyll and Hyde. You know, like we could see them beat LSU but lose to Carolina.
Yes.
Or lose to Arkansas somehow but beat Florida. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I just think that's the type of year we're going to have down here in Oxford. Lane Kiffin's, he's done so much. I love to call him Lane Whiffin. Boy, how he squandered last year, I'll never know. But he's consistent. He's consistently good, and I think they'll be there again. I think they'll be knocking at the door. I don't think they're going to come smashing that door down, if that makes sense, because I don't think they quite have the team, but they've got the schedule to get there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. My only concern is, you know, you're looking at the success that Lane Kiffin's had while he's been at Ole Miss, and you know, a lot of times success in the SEC is like a roller coaster. You know, you're building up a team, you get to that point, you give them the best season you have, and then there's a little drop off. And to be consistent, that's extremely tough. Not too many coaches can do that. And that's my only concern is, did we hit that peak last year with the dream team, if you will? Because if that's the case, there may be a little bit of a drop off here, but maybe Lane is that guy. Maybe he is the next, I don't want to say Nick Saban, but you know what I'm saying, the next elite coach. Elite coaches are going to find ways to win no matter who they have. So it would not, if we're having this conversation in December and you're telling me that Ole Miss is going to the playoffs, I my mind wouldn't be blown. But if you told me they went 8-4, I'd be like, well, it makes sense. You know, they had the team last year. So I'm right there with you. This makes perfect sense.
You know what else makes perfect sense, Shane? Horton hears you as a hell of a guy.
Apparently, Horton couldn't hear you, so he's gifting you a membership.
This time, Shane, it's Ryan Foster. You have been gifted by Horton hears you. Ryan,
welcome
to the family. Appreciate you, Horton.
Thank you, cuz.
Welcome to the family.
I love us. Awesome. All right, then what other one, Shane? You could probably guess it. Who's got a schedule? Who's got the coaching? Who's perhaps got the team to make the playoff? But they may. Right now, I got them on the outside looking in, but there is a path to get there.
Tennessee.
Shade. All these damn home games. All these winnable away games. Again, is Mizzou going to go 12-0? Probably not. But, I mean, they've got the pieces, Shade, to get to 10-2. I think that could easily happen. They're going to have to play well in some key games, may have to upset a team to get there. But again, so this is where I'm at, Shane, where I'm almost buying completely into Mizzou and saying, buddy, if we can just get to 10-2, I think we're in. I think we're in just like a couple of years ago. Tennessee has showed, others have shown, you know, you got to get that 10th win. It's only been 1 year of the expanded playoff, but I don't know if 9-3 gets you there. But Missouri, the fact that they miss Texas, they miss Georgia. I think they can get there at 10-2.
Well, I mean, Tennessee, LSU, there's a lot of teams that are not on Mizzou's schedule, and that's why you always have that what if, you know, what if? Yeah. You can't talk about Lane Kiffin being consistent and not mention Drink also being consistent.
Yeah,
he wins. And I feel like the path is the easiest for Mizzou, but is Prabula the guy? Is, you know, are we able to just reload, or is there going to be a growing stage here where we're just, you know, we lose some games? Cause there's some early games that you're looking at, the Kansas, you're looking at South Carolina, Bama, those, you know, by October, this team will be tested. And if you slip up early, there's no way you're getting in later. But man, what a beautiful schedule. Absolutely beautiful. Get ready, because whenever they redo these things next year, 26, you guys are getting screwed. I can go ahead and tell you right now, Mizzou, Tennessee, these Texas, these teams are going to get some damn ball clubs. But yeah. Is this the only one? Are these the only two right here, Ole Miss and Missouri? You got another orange team in mind?
That's it, Shane. So I got five, six, seven. I got eight contenders out of the SEC. I think those are the only eight that can make it. And the next year, Shane, I got these teams I believe in. I think they're going to be much improved, but I think the schedule is going to catch up with them. Florida, right there. Man, I want to pick Florida to go 10-2, you know? If they get to 10-2 with this damn schedule, they ought to be a top four team. You know what I mean? I mean, it's it's a damn gauntlet here for the Florida Gators, but I think probably 9-3 is a little bit more realistic. And even that would be far and away Billy Napier's best year.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's not won an eighth game in a regular season yet. So I'm sitting here saying his best year yet. I think best case scenario, that's kind of where we're at with Florida is 9-3. I know you hate them, but could you see a path to a 9-3 for the Gators?
No, not really. I don't hate the Gators. I don't. I mean, you give them Mizzou schedule, then they're in. We're right. Talking about, you know, this is a team that's destined for great things. But unfortunately, they are going to be, I mean, they are going to have some competitive depth. That's for sure. Because they are going to be tested week in, week out, just like every SEC team. But I just feel like Florida got it a little bit rougher than the others. So can 9-3 happen? I shouldn't say no. I think it could. I do believe that would be the ceiling, though.
But So you're saying you don't even believe in that, but I don't even think that's good enough to get you in. Does that make sense?
That's right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think 9-3 could be on the table if everything lines up, but even then, the best doesn't get you in.
And I think we could basically make the same argument, Shane, for this team, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I get love what they're doing. I think I've said it many, many, many times on this show. I think this is the program that has improved the most this offseason.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they were 6-7 last year, you know? So, again, can you go from 6-7 to 10-2? Hell yeah, you can. I really do think you can with the changes that they have made. But, man, you trip up anywhere on this damn. So, like, again, shout out to George Story. I just had him on the show. You know, I said, what's a tougher game, Auburn or Michigan? And I think it's Auburn. He said he didn't hesitate. He said Michigan. You know, there's going to be a lot of moving pieces with the Sooners on their offense. And what is Michigan going to look like with this new five-star freshman? I mean, there's landmines all over this damn thing. And, you know, even if you do, like I've predicted them to beat Texas, even if you beat a team like Texas, there are so many other places you could trip up. It's just getting a 10-2 with this schedule. It's not impossible, but I don't really see that happening. Do you?
No, again, they've made a lot of additions in the offseason that we're excited about, but I don't think it was enough additions to get us to playoff talk. So, you know, scheduling is also a factor. We can't sugarcoat it. Oklahoma knows exactly what they got coming in here. They got kind of the raw end of the deal, but they still have an opportunity to dance. It's just, I feel like with Florida, 9-3 would be the top as well. That would be the ceiling for me.
How about Cousin Mike? I love his comment. Oklahoma wants Mizzou scheduled the next 2 years. That's what we got to balance this damn thing. Give Florida and Oklahoma. Give Florida Ole Miss schedule the next 2 years.
And that's why I was talking about Venables keeping his job, because I do think that you see a noticeable improvement with the Sooners in 25. And so much so that you're like, hey, let's give this another year. Now, next year, potentially we're talking about that playoff spot, but it has to, you have to build something. It's not like you could just replace your roster and go out there and win a natty. It doesn't work that way. You know, Oklahoma's going to have to build something. And I feel like that's what they're doing here. So yes, big step forward in 24. I think you land in 25. I think 26 is the year that we should be eyeing the opportunity for a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm. All right. So again, I don't have Florida. I don't have Oklahoma, but is there anybody that I miss, Shane, that you're saying, come on.
Yeah.
This team could make the playoff,
brother. And I would rotate some of these. I think Tennessee and Auburn. These are, you already had it queued up. You knew exactly where I was going, because mainly with Tennessee is scheduling. You know, I think anybody looking at this, they're saying, hey, Georgia, Alabama, maybe Florida and Oklahoma. Those are the toughest on the board here. And if you ask any Vol fan, they're going to say it's going to come down between Georgia and Alabama. And even if you lost those two, guess what? You're 10-2 and you're getting into the playoffs. So I think the schedule is important. Now, obviously, quarterback situation, Nico's no longer here, but this is a Josh Heupel system. And I do think that they still will find plenty of success. And the defense didn't go anywhere. This defense is still going to be one of the best units in the country. So I would have Tennessee up there, not just because I'm Homer, just because I'm realistic. And also, I put Auburn. Auburn Tigers, yes.
With this guy? No.
This one would be like those fringe. This would be one of those, like, if the stars line up, I feel like Auburn could get in. But again, it has a lot more to do with the scheduling. You know, you don't see a Texas. You don't see a Tennessee. You don't see an LSU on here. Auburn has a pretty good slate of games. And some of the toughest ones are going to be at home. So I think it bodes well. You now got a quarterback, Oklahoma, close your ears. And you also got more weapons to choose from. Auburn was very aggressive in the portal. I think this is one of the teams that will noticeably take a step forward because of the acquisitions they made in the offseason. So, yeah, I feel like Auburn and Tennessee wouldn't blow my mind if they get into the playoffs, but it would still take a lot of work, in my opinion.
Hey, how about Cousin Donald? He says, Cousin Shane, he's got to go to the Texas OU game at the state fair. They fry everything. Corn dogs, Twinkies, Snickers, sausage, anything.
That order, which one you eating?
Wait. And then Jeez Louise says, where's the closest Cracker Barrel, Donald? And he may. All right, we'll rank the fry foods. Let's see. Corn dog.
I think they say it's famous, though. Corny dogs.
Yeah.
So I would put corn dogs first because of that.
I'm putting it dead last. Give me Snickers, number one. So I'll go sausage, two. Twinkie, three. Corn dog, four.
I'll go corn dogs, Snickers, sausage, and Twinkies. That order. And I would eat all those. You know, honestly, I'd eat any of them. It didn't matter. Whichever stand I come to first, you know?
All right. So anyone else on the fringes here? There's a couple teams that we didn't hit on, like, where would you put A&M? Because, again, you said...
A&M would be a fringe. They would be a... No, they would be like a 9-3. I just don't see 10-2.
At best.
Yeah, I don't see 10-2 in the works. This is one of those that, again, next year we're like Oklahoma. I think we're in the thick of it. But right now, no, too much transition, too much uncertainty, a lot of holes that they got to fill here. And I'm out on A&M right now.
Speaking of holes to fill, what about this team, Shane? Vanderbilt. I mean, they've been slept on again. It would take an outlier, but man, I've been doing some Diego Pavia research, Shane.
Oh God.
And you know, the quarterback we slept on the most, we thought Diego Pavia was going to suck last year coming into horrible Vanderbilt. They're awful. Yada, yada, yada. And I get it. People are like, well, now he's going to face SEC defense this year too. I mean, they have done this every year, Shane.
Yeah,
he was like a JUCO national champion. He was at New Mexico State and got them to win their championship. This was not some fluke where this guy just like fell into the SEC and whooped some ass. And then, Tim Beck and company, they adjust. They add new wrinkles. I think they are well aware. Everybody's got film on them now, right?
Yeah.
So now they're going to have additional wrinkles that people don't see coming. So Vanderbilt returns more than anybody in the SEC on the offensive and defensive side. I realize they're far and away the worst. Well, Mississippi State may technically be the worst roster talent-wise, but Vanderbilt is right there with them. So, yeah, playoff, extremely, extremely, extremely unlikely. But what would be more unlikely, Shane, that Vanderbilt makes the playoff?
Mm-hmm.
Or
I learned to fly.
Or Vanderbilt went 7-6 last year. I mean, remember all year we were saying, can they win a damn game? They beat number one in the damn country, Shane, and won. We were thinking, I mean, look at Clark Lee's record. I mean, it's 2-10. It's 2-10. It's 5-7. They went out of damn nowhere and won seven. Would it be really that insane? I think it would be It would be less surprising to me if they went 10-2 than last year's going from 2-10 to 7-6.
Yeah, it's not just the 7-6; it's who they won against. You know, the Alabama, the close to Mizzou game. That you know, the how tight just about every football game was, except for one or two. So,
right.
Yeah, I think last year was the surprise, but still going to a playoff was never in the even after that Alabama game. I didn't say, well, you know, if they win out, they're gonna no, because I knew they had Texas, I knew they had LSU and Tennessee coming up. So, I do think they're improved, and I do like what Coach Lee, especially what Pavi has done. Pavi is just he's the lightning bolt. He is the foundation of what they're trying to build there in Nashville. But I cannot sit here and tell you there's any chance of them making a playoff. Zero.
I give them 1%. Come on, 1% Vanderbilt. How about to Arkansas? Taylor Green, red hot. Sam Pittman, coach of the year.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Which one's more likely, Vanderbilt making a playoff or Arkansas?
Vanderbilt.
Yeah, you're probably right. Arkansas, I do like Arkansas, though. It's just now I'm looking at this schedule, which is not easy at all. But Taylen Green, it's kind of like the poor man version of Sellers, in my opinion. You know, like if you ever bought off Temu, and you're like, man, I hope this is good. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's kind of what we got brewing over there in Arkansas. But because of that, I feel like the ceiling is that kind of that 9-3, 8-4, 9-3. That's like perfect year. I don't see a perfect season ending with 10, 11, or 12 wins.
Right. How about our guy Stoopsie?
No. Vanderbilt, Kentucky has only one other team in this conference that has a worse shot of making the playoffs. That's just unfortunately where I'm at right now. Now, this may change. I need to come up with some forgiving bet, kind of like I did with Shane Beamer. If for some reason Kentucky starts out the season 4-0, I'll do this. You know, I don't see it happening, but I would be lying if I didn't say there was a part of me saying, you're sleeping on the boys up north. You know, you're sleeping on them just a little. You're going a little too hard on them. But I do think I would give them a 2.5% chance of making a playoff.
I got an idea.
Yeah.
Now, this is ambitious. This would be the biggest one. I don't want to commit you to it. So, again, this is not you pledging you'll do it. But I think I've got the perfect activity you could do to issue your forgiveness to Kentucky fans.
What's that?
Your big orange balls.
Yeah.
What do these Tennessee folks always say to the Kentucky people to try to belittle them?
Coal mining.
You got to do a shift in a coal mine for 24 hours.
Hey, I'll do that. Wait, so what's the bet? I'll do a day and
maybe
a coal
like
mine.
Maybe like a 12-hour shift at a coal mine.
Yeah. You think I think my big ass would get in there? I don't know. I'd be trapped, you know. But yes, if Kentucky, let's say this: if Kentucky wins,
you said if they go 4-0, let's see who would that be? That's not going to be a given, Shane. It's Ole Miss. It's at South Carolina. I mean, this is not a given, but it could happen too. Toledo, Eastern, you know, 4-0.
Yeah. If it happens, if Kentucky goes 4-0, I'll pull a shift in the mines. I'll find it. I don't know. There's got to be one around here. I'll do a day in the mines. And then I'll take the check and donate it to somebody. They're NIL. I'll send it to because Stoops needs money.
All right. Then the last only team we didn't hit on. So we're not trying to pick on them, but.
Oh, there they are.
Mississippi State. I mean, it's just. You're just trying to be better than you were last year.
Yeah.
That's all I got there.
I thought you were going to follow it up with some some great comment there. No, this one here is another one that, you know, I told you I was worried about Lebby's job, but there's similar to Kentucky. I feel like there's some landmines out here for other teams that Mississippi State takes you know, takes advantage of. Maybe there's no way they go another year winless in the SEC. It's just, I don't think they win two of them. It's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, I got you. I believe in you, Shane. I really do. And I hope, you know, you enjoy your 12-hour shift in the coal mine. Anything else, buddy, before we jump off here?
No, I appreciate the cousins joining. Like JP says, just if you could get on there, hit that thumbs up. Means the world. Just minimize, hit the thumbs. You're done. You can clock out, you know? So thank you for everybody hanging out with us. Be sure to stay tuned because you never know what we're going to be bringing. I know me and Mike, we work all the time about what we could do to help the show grow and make it easier to consume. And I'll tell you what, we got some great ideas brewing here. This is going to be a special season for that SEC podcast, but wouldn't be a show without you. So again, thank you for the thumbs up. Thank you for sharing. But that's all I got, man.
And don't forget the donations too, Shay. That means a lot. That's fueling the podcast.
Yes.
We don't do a ton of advertising. We do that for you guys so you can enjoy a show. I don't know about you, Shane, but I hate watching a show full of all these dang commercials. So
that's right.
We are truly independent here. Every penny really does help us out. So we appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you tomorrow. We'll be back on with Steven. Haven't had him on in a little while. He's going to break down the official Athlon SEC predictions.
Ooh,
Shane, so that's going to be a good one. So that'll be tomorrow. But until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.